This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Put the VSiN experts to work for you this football season and start betting smarter with the VSiN Pro subscription. Sign up now and save 10% off a VSiN Pro annual subscription when you use promo code Lombardi. Get full access to everything we do, including our daily best bets with a leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand, betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving every game, plus betting systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video access. Remember to use promo code Lombardi to save 10% off a VSiN Pro annual subscription today. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. And when you use that promo code Lombardi, you might help us go into our ranks in the VSiN Clash competition that we've got going on throughout the different shows. So make sure you sign up with promo code Lombardi. Don't use any other promo code, just promo code Lombardi, and you're all good to go. This is the Lombardi Line on the DraftKings Network. Michael Lombardi out in the great state of New Jersey. Femi Abebefe hanging out here down in downtown Las Vegas.
And you know what today is, Femi?
What is it?
Today in the great state of New Jersey is a state holiday. It's Bruce Springsteen's birthday, 74 years old.
Wow.
The whole state shuts down. Yep. So it should. Rainy day. I feel bad for Stormy. She's going to be on that field at Lincoln Financial. She better have her boots on. It's going to be a wet one today. There's a storm front coming. It's going to affect three games. I think it'll affect all of them up the coast. Charlotte in Carolina. Well, they're in Seattle, so it's not going to matter. But the Washington and the Jet game and the Raven game.
Well, we'll definitely be keeping our eyes on what the weather is like. We'll talk to Stormy Bonantoni coming up in 15 minutes. She'll be doing the sidelines for the Miami and Temple game. We'll also get her plays, her Survivor plays. Stormy's still in it with the Survivor. I have been knocked out of the Survivor, so we'll be rooting for Stormy to keep the dream alive here on the Lombardi Line. So hopefully she can get through. We'll reveal her Survivor play coming up in about 15 minutes from now. But, Michael, let's get to the game over in Autzen Stadium, where it never rains at Autzen Stadium. At least that's what they say over the loudspeakers whenever you go to a game there. They're hosting the Colorado Buffaloes, Oregon, a 21-point favorite, total sitting at 70 here. And this is the kind of game a lot of people had circled for Coach Prime and the Colorado Buffaloes of, all right, here, maybe this is where they come back down to earth after the 3-0 start.
Well, look, they have the quarterback's playing really well. Their offense is, you know, what's funny about their offense, as good as they are, think about this, Femi, I don't think people understand this at all. As good as they're playing offensively, and we, you know, they've got tremendous weapons. They're only the fifth best offense in the conference. Think about
that. It's crazy.
I mean, that tells you how good the Pac-12's been. I mean, they're only the fifth best offense in the conference. Now, the problem's going to be for Colorado. It was the problem at TCU. It was the problem last week against Colorado State. It wasn't so much against Nebraska. But the problem is their defense. Can they play good enough on defense to keep Oregon attached to get the game to the fourth quarter? And that's going to be key. And when you lose your best player, you know, then it's a real issue. And I think that one thing in talking to the people at Colorado this week, I mean, they understand who their team is. They understand that they've, I don't want to say they've overachieved, but they understand that they've made people aware, and they know they're going to get everybody's best punch. But I do think they're up for the challenge. But when you take your best receiver out of the game, Travis Hunter, and your best corner out of the game, Travis Hunter, it makes it more difficult. The focus in this game is going to be up front. Can the Colorado defensive front match the Oregon offensive front? I think that's going to be the key.
Well, do you think that they can, based on what you've seen over the past few weeks?
I think it's going to be really hard. I think it's going to be hard. I think this is going to be a boxing match, and I think Oregon's going to try to wear you down. Oregon's trying to wear you down and just kind of make sure that they don't do what TCU did, which is get into a trap. They're going to wear them down and extend the lead and make them play from behind. I think that Colorado proved last week they can play from behind. But I don't really care what happens in this game. You know, I mean, I don't want to hear the rhetoric, well, they finally caught up with themselves. Deion's doing an incredible job coaching. They're doing an incredible job of developing the players on their team. The quarterback, Shedeur Sanders, is playing well, and they're going to continue to play well. Whether they win today or lose today, they're going to continue to play well. Like, this is not a game where, you know, everybody, you know, we're rooting for shattered dreams. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Deion's great for college football, and so is Colorado. To see that stadium, I mean, what's the biggest thing? Well, it's not in your lifetime, but in my lifetime, probably the biggest thing that happened in Colorado Stadium was Mork and Mindy were there. I mean, think about it. and such a perfect setting. So I think it's a hard game. I really do. And I think defensively is going to be the biggest challenge for the Buffaloes today.
Yeah, we know that. I mean, a lot of people are rooting against Deion and all that. Everyone says that it's flashy and stuff like that. I'm with you. I'm rooting for Deion, and I'm rooting for this thing to become an even bigger story, because I think it's great for college football. I mean, you have people who never watched college football watching the sport because of what he's brought to Colorado and that football program, a once proud program in the 90s that was kind of been dormant over the last 15 to 20 years, now has once again risen to national prominence. Now, with that said, I like Oregon to go ahead and cover. I didn't bet Oregon laying the 21. That's a lot of points. The way I went ahead and bet this game, Michael, was taking a little flyer on Bo Nix at 30-1 to win the Heisman Trophy, because I think with a lot of eyeballs on this game, I think that this passing attack can go ahead.
No, that is such a give the money to those kids at St. Jude's, please. Why would you do that? Bo Nix has no chance to win the Heisman.
No chance.
None.
All right, 1,000,000 to 1 then. I guess
zero.
Okay,
less than zero.
Less than zero.
I mean,
negative two.
Sam Hartman, he's not going to beat out Caleb Williams. I mean, Michael Penix, if Washington wins, why would you do that? Now, why? See, this is what's wrong with betting. When you get caught up in these, it's a good number. It's only a good number if the player has a legitimate chance based on circumstances and based on risk. That's why it's so important in betting to read a lot about risk management. And understand, because the number, that's where they lure you in. That's why they have chandeliers in the casino. They lure you in. Oh, that's a really good, I hear it all the time on everybody talks gambling. Well, that's a really good number. It's only a good number if it comes through, and it has no chance of coming through. I mean,
no chance.
Our guy Justin Fields' number was great, but I knew it wasn't coming through. It was you even admitted you didn't think it would happen. St.
Yeah,
Jude's.
I didn't think that was gonna happen.
I mean, Bo Nix is not winning the Heisman, and he could play great. He could play great. The one I thought you were going to say, you were going to bet Sam Hartman to win the Heisman, because if he plays great today, that number's going way down. And that
100%.
Political campaign that happens on Sunday from the Vatican is going to be powerful.
Well, I didn't have a strong opinion on Ohio State and Notre Dame, so that's why I didn't want to bet it. Because, I mean, they could easily lose the game, and then there goes Sam Hartman's Heisman Trophy chances. I mean, they're 3.5-point dog at home.
Oh, you so disappoint me, Femi. You so disappoint me
All
with
right.
that. No.
All right. Well, in December, when Bo Nix is sitting there in New York City.
What are we're on Springsteen's birthday. It's the 23rd of September.
Yeah. 23rd of September. Write it down.
You're not even racing in the streets. I mean, this isn't even retreat, no surrender. This is really just, I'm so disappointed.
I told you, I like Dancing in the Dark. That's more of my jam for Springsteen. But write it down.
Oh,
take a picture of it. September 23rd.
I go to the bathroom on Dancing in the Dark. This is the difference between you and when he plays Dancing in the Dark, I go to that's when I go to the restroom. And then I come back.
Write it down. Take a picture. Clip this. Save this clip. All our guys behind the glass. Save the clip. You heard it on September 23rd.
I'd like to know on Twitter today if people agree with me or they agree with you. Because
right.
I'm telling you, I'm sending you the St. Jude's information.
You don't think Oregon's a good team?
I do think they're a good team. And
okay.
I think Bo Nix is a good player. I'm not saying
okay.
that.
So then how do you say they have no chance?
We're talking a political arena here. We're talking a political arena. Do you think those writers are objective? I mean, Mike Tomlin didn't even barely got any votes for Coach of the Year, and his team was, it's all situational. It's all perception. You're not going to get, and look, I know Oregon. I know they're sending people to every college game day to put signs. They're doing as much as they can to promote Bo Nix. They did it for Joey Harrington. Remember him?
Yeah.
They did the same thing. They had billboards in Manhattan on him.
In Times Square.
Did he win it?
He didn't win it. But
I
think Oregon has a chance to go to the playoff. And if Bo Nix puts up big numbers like he's going to do today, I think he definitely is in the conversation.
You think Oregon can win the Pac? Do you think?
The Pac-12 100%. Why not?
I don't think that. I don't doubt that. But he's not going to beat Michael Penix. He's going to be no. It's just a bad play.
I love the Huskies. I'm a Husky fan. I don't like betting on an Oregon guy. But from an opportunity standpoint,
this is what's wrong with this.
This is
why
the
book makes so much money. They lure you in with this logic. Oh, that's a good number. Yeah, I hear it all the time on all our shows. Oh, that's a good number. It's only a good number if it's realistic. It's not.
Okay, so do you think right? So right now, Shedeur Sanders is at 18-1. Bo Nix is at 20-1. Who do you think has a better chance to win the Heisman?
I think Shedeur Sanders, he got a bigger campaign.
Michael.
I mean, he does. He has a bigger campaign. I think
they're gonna
Jordan Travis at 14-1. Where's my man Sam Hartman was I was pushing him 2 weeks ago.
Colorado has an updated win total of 6.5. You're not going to win the Heisman winning 6-7 games. Like you can crush the door off right now.
Wait a minute. Anything updated on Colorado has been wrong. Everything on Colorado has been wrong this year.
Like there's Michael. I'm here to say,
as Parcells would say, one wrong, all wrong.
Colorado right now, Shador is 18-1. Right now on September 23rd. In 2 weeks' time, Shador will be 50-1.
Put that graphic back up. Put that graphic back up. I would rather take the Notre Dame running back. I can't say Estime.
Take
him at 50-1. Yeah, well, I'll take him. I mean, all these are just wasted plays. Everything down from Shanders on down is a wasted play. It's all wasted. Just giving it to St. Jude's.
6.5 win total. Has a better chance to win the Heisman than Bo Nix. Stormy Jones is next.
If you're not spending your Sunday mornings with VSiN, you're missing out on the best football betting programming in the business. Start your morning with the sweat at 8 a.m. Eastern as our analysts take you around the NFL, analyzing betting markets and fantasy matchups you can take advantage of. Then catch myself, Stormy Bonantoni, and former NFL executive Michael Lombardi here on the Lombardi Line at 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.
You're paying $8 million a year for that? Seriously.
Michael brings his more than 30 years of NFL front office experience to help you handicap every game on the NFL slate. Following us, you'll hear from broadcasting legend Brent Musburger with Brent Musburger's Countdown to Kickoff at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Welcome, everybody. I'm Brent Musburger. This is going
to
be fun.
Brent talks with Vegas odds makers and professional bettors to help you make your final picks before kickoff. Spend your Sunday mornings with the sweat, the Lombardi.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Looking to be a better bettor? Of course you are. And tens of thousands of people have already turned to Juice Reel. That's Juice, R-E-E-L, in the App Store. Juice Reel is not a sports book. It's a tool to help you beat the books. Juice Reel connects all of your sports betting accounts into one app, loads all of your betting history, and gives you an analytical edge backed by nearly $1 billion in bets from sports bettors in all 50 states. Use the data to follow the winners and fade the losers. Don't place another bet until you've downloaded this revolutionary sports betting tool, Juice Reel. That's Juice, like orange juice, Reel, R-E-E-L. It's absolutely free. Download Juice Reel to your iPhone or Android device today and become a better bettor. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line, hanging out on DraftKings Network on this fantastic college football Saturday. The slate is absolutely electric, and someone who is electric will be joining us right now. Our very own Stormy Bonantoni, who is the host of the Lombardi Line here Sunday through Thursday, doing the sideline reporting for today's Miami and Temple game, where the weather is going to be something. We'll get into all of that, Stormy, in just a bit. But in the last segment, Michael and I were having a passionate conversation about my Bo Nix 30-1 bet to win the Heisman Trophy. We wanted to get your thoughts. Am I crazy? Am I onto something? Are you in between? Where are you at with this?
No, I don't hate it. Michael, you hate it?
He despises it. Look at him.
There's no chance. It's a St. Jude's play all the way. There's no way.
Come on. Michael, you cannot call
these voters, Stormy. These voters, there's no way they're going to give these voters. Michael Penix has got, he's at the line. The line for him to get the Heisman is as long as the line to get a driver's license in New York City at the DMV. It's long. I mean, it's long.
You're terrible. No, Michael, give Femi some credit here, because if Oregon does ultimately run the table in the Pac-12, right? Like, they have a tough schedule. They've got to play Washington and Utah and USC. They have to, if they were to run the table against those teams, and Bo Nix is a reason why, he's got a 78% completion percentage to start the year, no pick. If he keeps playing like that, why couldn't he win?
Because he's Oregon. There's going to be other stories that are more powerful, that are being promoted now.
I mean, I'm not saying he's not a good player.
Bo
Nix is a St. Jude play.
I'm not saying that. I have been really impressed by how poorly he was coached at Auburn to how well he's coached at Oregon. And I think he's improved tremendously, without a doubt. I'm talking the political sense of this. I'm not talking about the player sense of this. And logic when it gets to a political arena. I mean, it doesn't really, it doesn't make it. And so, yeah, if this happens and that happens, and you know, 30-1, I think the risk far outweighs the reward.
All right. Well,
listen, I'm, you know, Michael, I'm a Sam Hartman girl. That's where my money is in the Heisman market. But I wouldn't call Bo Nix a St. Jude's play. I can't. I give my guy Femi a break here, okay? I don't mind it.
That's all we're asking for. We're just, we're asking to be open-minded here on the Lombardi line. Well,
I am open-minded. I am. I'm completely open-minded. I just think you're giving your, you know, you have a wedding to save up for. Stormy's already paid for hers. I'm just trying to save money for your wedding. I'm trying to stop the, and if you're going to make donations, call St. Jude's. Those kids need it.
Maybe we're trying
I'm
to get
just trying to be the, I'm trying to be the grandfather here. I'm just trying to help you young kids out, save money, be smart. That's all I'm trying to do.
I'm trying to get a chandelier at the wedding, Michael. So we got to get one of these big tickets to cash eventually. Stormy, you mentioned Sam Hartman. You like him for the Heisman. Notre Dame's a 3-point dog at home against Ohio State today. Total 55.5. What do you like in this game? How do you see this playing out later on this evening?
Yeah, I'm rolling with the Fighting Irish in this spot, especially since you can get the hook now with the +3.5 on ND. I feel like a lot of the people that are backing Ohio State in this spot and that really, really believe in the Buckeyes are too hamstrung a little bit to like who Ohio State has been the last couple of years and who Notre Dame has been the last couple of years instead of who they are right now. And what I've seen from Notre Dame is a different team led by Sam Hartman. And he is kind of like the secret sauce. I don't think the moment's going to be too big for him. He's experienced. He's efficient. I know that they haven't played a particularly tough schedule to this point, but they have been tested in that game on the road against NC State. And he was tremendous in that spot as well. Meanwhile, like Ohio State, who have they played? They haven't had any test of any kind. And I've had some significant doubts about their quarterback in Kyle McCord and what he's been able to do and the penalties that this team has taken. I know they're coming off of a big at margin win against Western Kentucky, but that doesn't really do anything for me. I think in South Bend with touchdown Jesus at their back, like give me Notre Dame in this spot getting the points. How often are you going to get the Notre Dame Fighting Irish as an underdog at home with Tim Murray in the building, who's on a 9-game yes. win streak, ladies and gentlemen, when he's at Fighting Irish games? You got to go with it.
I love it. I love your logic on it. The problem I have with college from a handicapping standpoint is they play these three games and Ohio State's defense gives up 6 points a game. All their numbers, I don't know what to believe. I have no idea what to believe in their numbers because they haven't played anybody. And so I know they played Indiana, but that Indiana game was a lot closer than the score. If Indiana had a good quarterback, maybe they win or they had a better offense. I have a hard time. I'm not sure. I'm with you. I don't know how good Ohio State is.
Yeah, and especially defensively to your point, like, are we sure that year two under Jim Knowles that they've taken this massive step and have become a good defense? Notre Dame is going to test them. They're going to have to defend the entire field with the way that Sam Hartman, we know, can air it out. What Audric Estime can do in the ground game, it's going to be coming at all angles. I think for Notre Dame, you just have to hope that your wide receivers can hold up their end of the bargain in this spot and take advantage of that Ohio State secondary. Because I do, Michael, to your point, I have a lot of questions about that group for Ohio State.
We're speaking with Stormy Bonantoni, host of the Lombardi Line here Sundays through Thursday. Also, ESPN sideline reporter. She'll be doing the Miami and Temple game in Philadelphia later on this afternoon, 3:30 Eastern kick, 12:30 Pacific time. Right now, it looks like outside the window there, Stormy, in Philly, it looks like it's sunny, but the weather could take a turn. Where are we at right now with the weather system? I know you got into this business to be a meteorologist, but the total right now is sitting at 46. 23-point favorites are the Hurricanes. What are we looking like weather-wise as it pertains to this total?
You know, I was talking about this with Temple's head coach, Stan Drayton, yesterday, that they must have just caught a bad break with the Hurricanes coming to town and a sideline reporter named Stormy. The weather was just inevitable, apparently. But yeah, it's been raining a good bit this morning. And from what I understand, keeping an eye on the radar, the rain should calm down a little bit after kickoff. It's the wind that's going to be problematic. And we know as bettors, keeping an eye on all of these things, wind is what impacts these games more than rain. So something to keep an eye on. Up to around 17 mile an hour winds pretty consistently, gusts up to nearly 40. So those big chunk winds, I think particularly for Temple, are going to be problematic because they have struggled to this point, with the exception of last game against Norfolk State, to run the ball. And I mean, that's obviously from a level of competition, very, very different from what you're going to see from a Miami front. So they've struggled to run the ball. And then their quarterback in EJ Warner, he's a smaller guy who just doesn't have a whole lot of arm strength when it comes to the wind. I think we could see a few balls flail from him from that standpoint. So I do think it's going to be an uphill battle for Temple, especially given the weather in this spot. And Miami, to their credit, they look like a different group lately. They're running back core. They've got three guys that they can really rotate and kind of ride the hot hand on a given day. Tyler Van Dyke has been one of the most efficient quarterbacks in the country, top five in QBR. And so they've been able to put things together from all angles. And that offensive line up front, completely retooled, revamped, upgraded. They give Tyler Van Dyke a lot of time and can create some big holes for those running backs. So I think advantage Miami in a lot of areas today.
Stormy, where are you on Oregon, Colorado? Did you make a play on this game?
I would not touch that game with a 10-foot pole. I have no idea who Colorado is going to be at this point. I feel like every week I have an expectation and then they come out and show me something different. They don't have Travis Hunter, and I think that's going to be significant on both sides of the ball, obviously. If I were to, if you forced me to make a bet on this game, I'd probably go Oregon first half. It's under two touchdowns. I last I checked, it was at 13.5. And I think that's something I could see Oregon at home getting off to a hot kind of a start and taking advantage of maybe some Colorado miscues. Because I think Colorado's kind of early on in the season, maybe starting to get figured out a little bit. And I just don't know what to expect. So as far as a side on this game, it'd be Oregon first half or nothing for me.
Stormy, we've got about 45 seconds left. I have been knocked out of Survivor. So it's on you now to carry the Lombardi line dream here to go ahead and win the $9 million. What do we like this week in Survivor?
I have two entries left and I put them both on Jacksonville. I'm very nervous. I think a lot of people have PTSD from last year getting knocked out in that 13-6 loss to the Texans. But me and Michael talked about it earlier this week. They did bounce back the second half of the year with a massive win over Houston. There's just everything in this matchup tells me that Trevor Lawrence and Jacksonville are going to be able to take advantage. They had so many would-be touchdowns last week against Kansas City that just didn't come to fruition because the wide receiver couldn't get their feet in bounds or what have you. I feel like they get on track in a big way against Houston, and I stay alive. We survive another week.
There we go. It's a banged-up secondary for the Houston Texans as well, so maybe Lawrence and the crew can take advantage.
Stingley's out, too. That really, they'll have a hard time covering them.
Yeah, 100%.
You got it, Stormy. We're all the way. Don't even blink.
She is Stormy Bonantoni. Check her out on the sidelines
at
Miami
Stormy,
at Temple.
Stay dry.
Stay dry indeed. Yeah. All right, we'll continue
Saint
to talk Jude, some
Stormy
NFL.
Stormy and Femi.
Bo Nix from the Heisman starts today. Lombardi Line coming up next.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The VSiN shows are clashing. We've got a subscription contest going between the shows here at VSiN, and we need your help to win. At stake is a $1,000 voucher at Circa Sportsbooks to be used on a Super Bowl futures ticket. To sweeten the deal for you, you'll save 10% when you sign up for a new VSiN Pro annual subscription and use promo code Lombardi. Bragging rights and juicy futures ticket is on the line. It's time to start betting smarter and help us do the same. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up for a new VSiN Pro annual subscription. Save 10% with promo code Lombardi. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line on the DraftKings Network. Shout out to our audience over on Samsung TV Plus. We appreciate you guys viewing us as well. Michael Lombardi out in the great state of New Jersey. Femi Abebefe hanging out here at the Circa Resort and Casino and joining us in studio as he usually does each and every Saturday. The one and only Matt Youmans, host of VSiN Tonight, which you can check out Monday through Friday, 9 to midnight Eastern. Also, co-host of the College Football Betting Podcast with our buddy Tim Murray. Matt, how are we doing today? Massive slate in college football. Massive slate. This is a hell of a weekend.
Oh, no doubt about it. I mean, these are the type of college football Saturdays you look forward to all summer. When we have those slow days and, you know, we don't have a lot to talk about on these shows, you look forward to Saturdays like this where you got wall-to-wall action from morning to late at night. And I've got a bunch of plays on the college card. I think I've got about 15, 16 bets right now. And that's just the warm-up act, Femi. We haven't put in the live bets or the halftime bets or any of that stuff yet, but just I got 15 or 16 sides on the college card. The NFL card, pretty ugly this week for the most part. It's tough for me to find many sides I really like. I am looking forward to the as I'm sure Michael is too, the Sunday night game, Steelers at Raiders, I think that's going to be a really interesting game.
Matt, your best bet, you're with us. We're in the same boat with you. I'm the president, and Femi's the president of the Cam Ward fan club.
Mm-hmm.
You like Washington State getting 3 points playing at home. Tell us why.
Yeah, it's interesting here. According to my numbers, I mean, Washington State a 2.5-point favorite. Close to 3, actually. And I talked to Richie Bacciolari, longtime odds maker here at Circa. He's here at Circa Sports now. He said he made it Washington State minus 1.5, and the market is at 3. Oregon State minus 3. I know another handicapper who's pretty good with college football. He made this Oregon State minus 5. I don't, you know, so we got a big difference of opinion or numbers, whichever way you want to put it here. I like Cam Ward, 72% completions, 9 touchdowns, no picks. This is an offense averaging 49.7 points. And when I look at the Oregon State side, I think DJ Uiagalelei is taking a little bit of a step back here. Last week he threw 2 picks against San Diego State. He's down to 62% completions. I don't trust him on the road in this game. I do have a lot of respect for Damian Martinez. You're going to see him play in the NFL. He's a stud running back for the Beavers. He's getting 8.8 per carry so far. So Washington State's got to be able to stop the run here. But if you look at this Cougars team, pretty impressive resume so far. Mm-hmm. They crushed Colorado State on the road and then whipped Wisconsin at home. And I like the home dog here. I really don't think Washington State should be the dog. So based on the numbers, this is the biggest difference I had on today's college games.
Yeah, I feel like people aren't watching Washington State because Cam Ward is terrific. And I think the handicap for me in this game would be you're getting the better quarterback at home with points. Is that also the handicap for you in Ohio State-Notre Dame, the massive game that's going to be later on this evening?
That's a pretty good segue, yeah.
Like
you're a pro.
That's a pro segue, huh?
Sam Hartman, I think, is going to be the difference in this game. 71% completions, 13 touchdowns, no picks. You've also got the nation's leader in rushing yards, Audric Estime for the Irish, 521 yards, 8.3 per carry. You know, I've watched the Buckeyes in their first 3 games, and they played weak competition. The Buckeyes are really good in the bully role, right? They blow out bad teams, Indiana, Youngstown State, Western Kentucky. But you got 2 young quarterbacks. I think both are going to play in this game. Kyle McCord's going to get to start. Devin Brown's probably going to see some playing time. These guys have not been in an atmosphere like this yet on the road. And Sam Hartman's 24 years old. You know, he's been through all the big games. I think he's been exceptionally poised and in control of this offense. And I'm banking on Sam Hartman to lead the Irish to a win here. I took 3.5. I also like Notre Dame to win the game outright.
Yeah, I'm with you. So talk me off the ledge. I'm concerned about Alabama. More defensively, look, I knew they were going to struggle offensively because I was not a fan of the Tommy Reese hire there.
Right.
And then he brought the Notre Dame quarterback, and I'm thinking, well, you know, why would we do that? And, you know, Lane Kiffin's acting awful cocky. But you seem to feel like Alabama will turn this back around. It's Parents Weekend down there. The great Bill Berman's in the stands.
Hey.
I mean, with his Bear Bryant cap on. I mean, anything can happen.
So I watched the tape of the Alabama-South Florida game a couple times, and I was really stunned at how bad the Tide looked in that game. Now, it was a game interrupted by weather, and the key is I didn't want to overreact when it was over because the 2 quarterbacks who played for Alabama, Tyler Buchner, Ty Simpson, are not going to see the field today in Tuscaloosa. All right, so it's going to be a different offense than what you saw last week. That was one of the 5 worst games I've seen Alabama play since Nick Saban's been coach. They were tied 34-point favorite, and South Florida, this is a bad South Florida team, was throwing the ball into the end zone with a chance to tie the game with 6.5 minutes to go. Alabama punched one in with 33 seconds left to make the score look a little bit better at 17-3. Now, the defense has allowed 14.7 points, and this is not one of Saban's elite defenses, but I do think it's good enough here against a Mississippi team that I really believe a lot of people are so anxious, so excited to kind of fade the Tide and predict Saban's demise, that they're not really taking a deep look at this Ole Miss team, which I think is not the team that's going to be able to go into Tuscaloosa and expose Alabama. A couple weeks ago, I watched Ole Miss go to Tulane. Green Wave playing their backup quarterback, and that game was tied going to the fourth quarter. And, you know, I don't like it also when, Lane Kiffin, not one of my favorite guys. He's I can't say the word on the air I want to use to describe Lane Kiffin. But I think Nick Saban's really going to want to stick it to him here. And also, in betting, I'm a big believer on, you know, buying on bad news and buying low. I got Alabama as a 6-point home favorite against this Ole Miss team. You know, 3 weeks ago, there's no way you would have thought the price was going to be that. So I actually think with all the negativity surrounding Alabama, Michael, I think Saban's going to come out smiling today. I like the way this sets up, and he's got his best quarterback, Jalen Milroe, gives him the best chance to win. If Milroe cuts down mistakes, and I think he will, I expect Alabama to win by double digits.
Ooh, okay. Lane's.
Having said that, I don't think this is an Alabama team that's a playoff contender. Let's put it this way. But this, I don't think this Ole Miss team is the one that's going to expose Alabama's weaknesses.
All right, maybe we'll have to wait down the line to see if Alabama will get exposed. We're hanging out with Matt Youmans, host of VEASAN tonight. You can check that out Monday through Friday, 9 to midnight Eastern. Also host of the College Football Betting Podcast. Get it wherever you get your podcasts. Well, let's continue on with the card here. Big game in the Pac-12. We're not talking about the one that's at Otton. How about the one at Rice-Eccles? UCLA taking on Utah. The Utes, 3-point favorites. Cam Rising, once again, will not be playing in this game. Still recovering from the knee injury. It's going to be the freshman Dante Moore for the Bruins in a hostile environment out there in Salt Lake City.
Yeah, it is. It's a really strong home field, but I'll tell you what, it's not a strong Utah offense without Cam Rising. This is an offense that's pedestrian at best without Rising. And I bet this UCLA plus 6. At the time, I thought Rising was going to play, but I didn't really fear it that much because he hasn't played since the Rose Bowl when he blew out his knee. So I wouldn't expect him to step in and be Superman right away. But this Utah offense is having trouble moving the ball without Rising. And in fact, if you take away that 70-yard pass on the first play against Florida, Utah was outgained in that game 346 to 200. So, and the Utes were lucky to win at Baylor. I have not been impressed with what I've seen so far, especially with the Utah team stripped by injuries. I was at the Rose Bowl tonight. Dante Moore stepped in relief for Ethan Garbers and just instant offense, you know, lightning strike, quick, big plays. This guy's the real deal. And I think, you know, really raises the ceiling for this UCLA team and the program in the next couple of years with what he can do at quarterback. A lot of times you hear about these five-star kids that come in and they're really hyped and you see them play and you say, okay, I don't see it. Well, I do see it with Dante Moore. So I think, you know, UCLA's also got the ability to run the ball. A lot of people think of Chip Kelly as a guy who spreads the field and throws it all over the place. That's not the case. The running game is the basis for Chip Kelly's offense, and Carson Steele is a power runner. They've got speed backs. They got a couple of big play receivers. I've really started to like this UCLA team more and more. I think Kelly can go into Salt Lake City and steal one.
Matt, real quick, we got about a minute. We got next week break. We'll talk pro. But why is everybody in your contest all over Middle Tennessee against Colorado State?
Well, as soon as Colorado State blew that lead against Colorado and Boulder in the double overtime game, I looked at the schedule and said, who's Colorado State got next? Oh, it's a trip to Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And guess what? The Blue Raiders went to Fort Collins last year as 14-point underdogs and beat Colorado State by 2 touchdowns. Rick Stockstill's got a legit team with 9 defensive starters back. Don't forget also, Middle Tennessee went to Miami last year as a 25-point dog and beat the Hurricanes straight up. So, you know, it's a classic flat spot, emotional letdown spot for the Rams, too.
All right, back in the Blue Raiders, 4-point favorites right now over at DraftKings. We'll get a couple more college plays from Matt, then also his NFL card to wrap up the show on the other side. It's the Lombardi Line hanging out on the DraftKings Network.